This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans. Welcome again to another edition of our program for a Monday. Happy Monday to you, and pleasure to have you here listening to us and sports for the next hour or so. Thank you very much for listening. Man. Well, I'm Dave Medina, and I'm glad to have you here. And for those of you new to the program, what we do here is we just simply talk and talk and talk about sports. I tend to bring in a guest sometimes, and we talk about sports, and the guest usually is just another fan, just like me. So I don't get the bigwigs in here. I don't get, like, Peter King or Bob Costas to come in and talk sports. I'm not that good yet. Later that's happening. But that's our show. It's very basic. I just simply come in here and do the same thing that most sports talk hosts do. We look at stories and we try to get into it, and then I just give my opinions. And that's what people want in sports radio anyway. I mean, when you tune to a sports radio station, what are you trying to do? You're just trying to get what does somebody else think about something. Like, if you're interested to hear, if a guy's good, then you start to recognize his personality, and you get into it. It's like, oh yeah, this guy's pretty interesting. You know, it happened for me when I listened to Jim Rohn back in the day. And I listened to Cowherd, I call him Herd, on the Herd on ESPN radio. And I listened to, like, Mike and the Mad Dog and stuff, and shows like that. I listened to them all. You know, I don't listen to ones like WEEI. I don't get into Boston radio. All they talk about is the Red Sox and the Boston Celtics. You know, I don't care about the Red Sox and the Celtics every day, so I don't really get into that. I haven't really heard too much of the Chicago stations. I've heard of KNBR. I've heard a little KNBR once in a while. So there's a good palette of sports talk radio to be had. And what's fun about that is that you can listen to most of it on the internet. So what I do is I basically give my own perspective on the sports. And I try to stray away from all the moneymakers. You know, moneymakers are things like big controversy, you know, how does this relate to performance-enhancing drugs, social stuff. I try to stay away from the social stuff with sports, except to talk about how dumb it is in some cases. Just a week ago, I was talking about the morality bandwagon. So I try to keep it straight to the gut. Just talk about sports, get into it, get into what's interesting about it. And, you know, I'm hoping that for those of you listening for the first time that you enjoy the program and you stay with me. So thanks if you're listening now. I appreciate it. I hope you will enjoy this program. And you know what's great about it that is unique to this podcast? No commercials. So, you know, people are like, well, you know, I like this show and that show on this station, but we don't take breaks. We don't take commercials. So we just go out and we let it roll, and then it just rolls. It rolls. And then people hopefully will get into it. And then the idea is hopefully that we can get some comments on the show so that people get me some feedback so I get an idea what the people are thinking. And that's the idea in the city here on Locks of the Week Radio. So a couple of big announcements to make here. I have a day job. I don't just sit here at the computer and talk for 9 hours a day. I wish I could. I would love to do that. That would be a dream come true. But unfortunately, you don't get paid a whole lot just for sitting here and talking on your home computer. So I have a day job, and I work from it from 8 to 5 every day. And what's been happening is that I've had a desire to move out of Santa Barbara and move out to L.A., Los Angeles, because I could be more in tune with everything, more in tune with friends, family. I'll be closer to a lot of things. I can go to more games, and I can get into sports. And in L.A., people really like sports in L.A. Here in Santa Barbara, sports is kind of like the thing that you kind of, you know, you kind of get into it, but most people just don't care. You know, they like the Lakers. You know, there's a lot of Laker fans up here. A lot of Dodger fans up here. 49ers fans. The 49ers are huge in this town. But sports is not that big a deal here. And it's kind of sad. I remember reading one time on Dodger Thoughts. A guy was trying to watch one of the playoff games at a pizzeria here in town. Now, I want to know what pizzeria this is. I've been to all of them. I really want to know, because I'm going to go over to that owner and give him a tear him a new one about this. But they wanted him, he wanted to watch the game. And the pizzeria instead showed a rerun of Two and a Half Men. Two and a Half Men rerun. That's sad. That really is. I mean, it's like they wouldn't let the guy watch the Dodgers playoff game How often do the Dodgers make the playoffs anyway? I mean, yeah, we've had a recent run of success, but how often do they make the playoffs? Hardly ever. Maybe one out of every five, maybe out of 3 to 5 years. And the poor guy's just trying to watch the game and have a pizza, and the guy's like, nope, we're going to have put on 2.5 men instead from like 3 years ago. Man, I just want to, I mean, I don't want to clock the guy in the head because I know that he makes good pizza, I would imagine, but that's pathetic. It really is. I mean, how could you deny a guy to watch an important playoff game from a local team at a pizzeria because of an episode of something that already happened? Buy the DVDs. I mean, if it's that big a deal. You're a pizzeria. Pizzerias show sports on the TV. The TV isn't there so you can sample episodes of Lost or Sex and the City. Kind of missing the point of a pizzeria. Every other pizzeria I've ever been to in my entire life has shown some semblance of sports. Even if there's no sports on, they show something. They'll show like Outside the Lines or Before the Bigs, some show like that. They'll show sports, extreme sports, any kind of sport. The sport's got to be on there somehow. So that just annoyed, that really annoyed me when I read that story on Dodger Thought. I just couldn't believe it. But that just pretty much shows you what Santa Barbara's all about. And that extends not just to the pizzerias or some of the other upscale restaurants here, but it also extended to my place of employment during the day, UCSB. Now, UCSB is a great campus. It's got a great thriving student community, a lot going on, great activities, and it's really a place where people can really express themselves, and I appreciate that very much. But there's two things that I always noticed since I've worked there for about 4 years. And one, the lack of diversity. And there have been such strong efforts to try to increase that, but it just isn't. It's just not taken. I mean, the only black dudes I've ever seen around this campus are guys that are on the basketball team or maybe some artists or something like that. But other than that, I mean, it's just been kind of basic. I mean, I haven't really seen a ton of diversity. It's there. It certainly is. There's a lot of goodness there. But it's kind of like, very sparse, and so it's really kind of vanilla, and there's nothing wrong with that, honestly, by the way. I mean, I'm not saying that this is bad necessarily, but I'm just pointing out that it isn't the kind of diversity that you would really have hope for in a, what we consider a universally known school that should be known worldwide, certainly for lots of things, and yes, the partying is part of it. But that's just part of what I kind of started to recognize as part of a global thing with Santa Barbara, which I thought was just this whole thing of being isolated. It's really kind of a city in a bubble. And it's kind of a literal statement, because there's about at least 20 to 30 miles between it and Ventura, and another 30 to 40 miles between it and the next available big community, which would be Solvang, I think. And then that's not even that big of a community, really. It's kind of shows you how really it's in a world of its own, and it kind of acts like it. And so I've been kind of thinking about moving on to something bigger, something more cosmopolitan, where there's a little more culture, a little more culture, a little more going on, a little more in tune with sports. And that's going, I'm sorry for skipping that, but yeah, the thing about UCSB and sports is that there's just no commitment to the sports program. They have a new athletic director. He's trying his hardest to try to assemble some very good athletic programs at UCSB, and they have a couple. Their soccer programs are very good. Their swimming program is strong. Their water polo program is growing. But, you know, is there a real commitment from the UCSB and the Gauchos to really invest in their sports? And to be honest with you, the answer is no. I mean, I don't see any kind of team pride. And I mean, I don't see people like in the big game, like let's say it was a soccer game, because UCSB's best sport is soccer. They really get into it. They won the national championship in 06. Let's say that they were playing a big soccer game against their big rival, Cal Poly. I think that would get some press, but let's say they were playing another big rival, like Long Beach State or somebody like that. Or they were playing Stanford, any of these guys. They'll get some audience. They'll get some audience for that. But then you look into the basketball program, and you see the basketball program made a big run to the Big West tournament. We've covered this on the show. But do you see, like, this whole cloud or this whole air of momentum towards these games? Do you see people walking around the office, people walking around campus going, hey, how about the big game tonight? You get none of that. And I think a big problem about the Gauchos athletic program is that the university as a whole kind of looks at sports as an annoyance. Like, they don't really care about the sports. The chancellor's office and all the regents. See, I can say this now. I'm leaving the university, so I can say this all I want. But just be honest here. Nobody in the upper levels of UCSB's chancellor group or the regents or any of those guys care about their sports. They're not giving it the 100% support. They're not promoting the sports. They're not really giving people a big ups on the sports. They're not really putting big old flyers in the paper. And they're just not doing a good enough job of trying to foster community within sports, within athletics. There's no desire, and there doesn't seem to be, from the UCSB uppers to try and get a team spirit in that campus. And if that's just the nature of the campus, okay, fine. But they're not even really giving it an effort, and I think that's my problem. The athletic director is fine, but I'm talking about the other people, the people above him, the upper management of UCSB. I just don't see any commitment from them with the athletics program. And that's a shame, because if they committed a little bit, now I know they don't get a lot of money like UCLA does. I know they're not USC, where they have like tons and tons of donors. And I know they're not Stanford and Cal, who, of course, have an amazing connection to their Bay Area residents and their fans. And there's a huge amount of pride with both programs, even if they're not really that good in some of the bigger sports. But there's tremendous team pride with either of those two schools up north. And I just don't see that with UCSB. And that's a problem. And, you know, you can't just say, well, but they're so big and they're world-renowned and they got all the money. Well, how do you compare somebody like LMU, or how do you compare somebody like the Anteaters down south of UCI? And Cal Poly probably has a pretty big spirit. So you can't give me that. You can't give me that. They're a state school, Cal Poly is, and they have a better team pride, team spirit than the Gauchos do. That's just fact. Okay, they're on the beach. Pepperdine's on the beach, too. You tell me that Pepperdine doesn't have a decent... Well, it's probably about the same, I guess. Pepperdine and their commitment to their sports. But they have a lot of pretty good programs over there at Pepperdine. Baseball program's pretty good. And that's not a convenient excuse. And then look at Cal State Fullerton. They got nothing. And they have fostered this amazing baseball program, the best in the country. Always a factor in the College World Series. They've won a few. And they have this tremendous stadium. And they are just one of the biggest baseball powerhouses in college sports. So UCSB has a ways to go. Now, they've done a good job with their soccer programs. I mentioned that. And again, I mentioned swimming, and I mentioned those guys. But the difference, I think, is that I don't see an effort to really, really support, put themselves behind the UCSB programs. And when I say that, I'm talking about the chancellor's office and those guys. And I just think that's a shame. And it's whether they're right not to do so or not to do whatever. But every time I see any kind of action from the bigger higher-ups at UCSB, it's always a, oh, let's turn down the noise kind of an announcement. They're trying to implement these policies to tone down partying. Are you freaking kidding me? UCSB built itself as a party school. That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, but the residents will complain. Well, you know, these same residents need to understand that's where all their money's coming from. If UCSB burned to the ground tomorrow, the economy in Santa Barbara would collapse. There would be no economy. There'd be no money, no anything. So all these 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds who are living the high life off retirement and wondering where all the money comes in to fund this place. Get a look at UCSB and give them a little more respect. And give them a little allowance. Let people be free. I mean, the stupid tortilla thing was one thing. Okay, fine, I understand it delays the game. But some of these things are just ridiculous. And the thing with Floatopia, everyone complains about Floatopia. And, you know, it's just... the environmental aspect of Floatopia is certainly an issue. But I'm not necessarily even talking about that. I'm talking about other things that kind of break itself down into it. I mean, the way I'm seeing it from the regents, from everybody, from the city council here in town, it's as if they don't want this university to act like a university. And I don't think that's right. I think they need to just lay these people a little break, for goodness sake. Let them grow up, for goodness sake. Stop sheltering these kids. Honest to God. I mean, it just really annoys the hell out of me. So, that's just part of it. So I was kind of seeing that that's part of it. And then there are other personal issues at work, too, that where I was undergoing. But I think more, it wasn't really so much the people I worked with specifically, but the overall aim of the upper management at the company I was at. So I won't say any names, but when I say upper man, I mean like the very top. So my immediate supervisor and my section and adjoining section, we were okay. I mean, we had our differences, certainly, but I didn't think that was as big a deal as the overall direction of my particular unit, entire my office, and that's been a problem for a while. So I've been trying to just get a fresh start. And not only that, but I was losing all my friends. All my friends who I had made here moved out. They moved either. They moved north or they moved south or they moved somewhere else. And it was getting frustrating after a while. I got to a point where I just quit making friends. And I didn't really start making friends again until I started doing some work at KCSB. And then I made some friends, people who went there and other people there at the station. So, but outside of that, it's really hard to really get any kind of friends here or relationships of any sort because the whole population is transient. So that had been frustrating me for quite a few years. And that's a big reason why I was considering a move out of the area. And naturally, I figured L.A. would be perfect because, number one, it's so close to Staples Center. I mean, that's just awesome. You know, being able to go to more Laker games and more Dodger games, that by itself intrigued me so much. And it's a place where people have been through it all. They're not isolated, so they understand. There's a little bit, not a lot. Because we do know that there's a few guys that are a little stuck up there, especially in the west side of Los Angeles. But still, but you have people who've come from other places. And so they've certainly been around the block. And so that's useful. And the other thing about LA I enjoy a lot is that its proximity to a lot of places, the airport, and to the ease of getting to, like, let's say, Arizona or Las Vegas, that really appealed to me a lot. It really opens up the door to other trips to other places. And finally, I'm just closer to a lot of friends and family, and I'm going to be able to visit more people, more friends. We'll get to do more things, and these great movie theaters out there in Hollywood are awesome. I'll be in close proximity to a lot of things. It'll just be a good fit. And I always feel more at home in Los Angeles anyway. So the bottom line is I've received a new job offer from UCLA. I have accepted the offer. I will be moving to LA officially in, I would say, 2 weekends from now. So I'll be officially moved there about the 25th of July. So from this point forward, Dave and the City is going to take a hiatus, and so we will be off for the next 2 weeks, at least, and we shall return sometime in late July, possibly early August, and then we will get back into the groove. I may do podcasts in the middle, but as of right now, officially, this would be our last official show. Any further shows, we'll see what we can do, but we are now moving. We're going to move from Santa Barbara down to LA. We're going to be in the big thick of things now. So I certainly hope that you get a chance to enjoy that. And we'll get to hear more from a lot of our friends. Andrew will now be in the studio with me for the most part when we podcast now. I used to work with him over the phone, but now he'll be able to join me in person because the odds are I'll be pretty close to his residence wherever I move. So it's exciting times in the city here on Locks of the Week Radio, and I thank you for listening in on this. And yeah, it's a big move. It's a very risky move. I'm not really sure what lies ahead in the world of Dave and LA and what's going to transpire. I certainly hope that it leads to greater things in the world of broadcasting. I'm going to certainly keep in touch with some of the people and some of the local stations here, Here's a station called 710 ESPN that's going to be pretty interested in sports talk. And I was kind of thinking, I wonder what would happen if I sent one of these podcasts to them. I'd be very interested to know what they do. Would they be like, wow, this is pretty good? Or would they be like, man, this guy is a hack. What is he doing? But either way, it's very exciting. And I'll get to see more of my friends. And I'll get to see some more of my family. And it's just going to be really a good change. And I think the change of scenery was definitely needed. I love Santa Barbara. I've lived there for 4 years. It's a tremendous place to live. Although the funny thing about it, two things. One, I've been saying to my friends for the last few months, I live in Santa Barbara, but my life is in L.A. Because every time I feel at home. That feels like my place, my town. And it just speaks to me very much. There's a lot there that's just kind of there for me. And I think that's really neat. There's a couple other places like that. New York is one, and San Fran is another. The other thing about it that I thought was really interesting is that the kind of people I've met here in town in Santa Barbara really got me to thinking, you know, Santa Barbara is a kind of place where you really would love to spend the last years of your life. And I spent the first years of my life here, my professional life here. You know, usually when you're getting towards the end of your career, that's when you spend time in Santa Barbara. And to be honest with you, I may do that. As I approach my upper 50s, I'll probably just get like some kind of a week part-time job here doing consulting here in Santa Barbara, move back here with all the money I've saved up, and just kind of kick it the rest of my life and just kind of relax. That's what I would certainly ideally hope to do. Maybe get this apartment back that I have. Just get the same one. Get the same exact apartment and move back here like 30 years later. That'd be really funny. That would be really funny. Man, I hope that I get lucky enough to make it to that point. But yeah, I mean, Santa Barbara really isn't a place where a lot of people get their start in their career. It's not really a place that really lends itself well to building a career because there ain't a whole lot of jobs here to start with when you think about it. And there's not a lot of opportunities. Networks, it's in a bubble. What are you going to do? So it's weird how I managed to do that, live for the first few years of my life here, whereas most people kind of spend the last few years of their life. And really, you don't see too many young professionals here. Not a lot. You know, like a lot of the kids here are students who go to school here, so they're like 18 through 21, like really young. And then everybody else who lives here is like 50 through 70. You know, they've pretty much had most of their career already, and they're just kind of kicking it for the rest of their life. There's not a whole lot of middle. There's not a lot of people like who are in their 30s or whatnot. And if they are, they're tourists. They're visiting or they're driving in from out of town. So, that much is something I'm going to look forward to in L.A. Because we'll see a lot more of the professional crowd. We'll see more people in their 30s and 40s. And that's going to be good. Because I'm entering my 30s myself. I mean, I'm 27 now. I'll soon be 30. And it should be interesting to see how that develops. That's what I'm hoping for. So, in total, this move to L.A. is going to be really great. So, with Dave and the city officially relocated, we can get into some of the locals' news. Because I'll be surrounded by it. Like, the L.A., UCLA in particular is going to be really something that we'll get into a little more. Because I'll be in it. I'll be living it. I mean, these games at Pauley Pavilion, I'm going to those games, you know, instead of just watching it on TV. I am going to live and breathe Bruin for a while. And it's ironic because I am the staunchest USC Trojans football supporter. And I will be continue to be, by the way. But I can't let that be known too much when I'm over there at work. I'm just going to not say anything. Even though I have my Trojan shirt next to me in my bed. And another shirt and a jacket. But I'm going to just hide that thing deep in the closet whenever people come over to my apartment. I'm just like, am I going to be a closet Trojans fan in the middle of West LA? That's my MO. That's what I'm doing. Oh, I'm really looking forward to this move. I've never felt better. It's going to be fantastic. Maybe I'll even meet some women. It'll be great. That's what I'm looking forward to. So, you know, I have more to talk about, but we need to take a break. So we'll get back into sports shortly. And when we do, we're going to talk about what made this site big. A big story exploded the bandwidth so much so I had to upgrade the bandwidth of the site. But we'll get into that after this. This is Dave in the City. Welcome back in the city. I'm Dave Medina, here on Locks of the Week Radio, a service of Podbean.com. Thank you very much for joining us if you're listening for the first time today. And, you know, we could have a bunch of new listeners now, and I'll tell you what happened. It's very funny, a funny story what happened here. A few days ago, when I was at McDonald's, I was listening to a program called Mad Dog Unleashed on Sirius XM Radio. And it's just something I do for kicks. I mean, This guy, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, is a bit of a hoot. But, I mean, you listen to the guy, you're really just pitying him. It really is amazing that he's being paid as much as he is, but he built his reputation off of this show called Mike and the Mad Dog on WFAN, and they were great together. I mean, and it's really more for the chemistry of the situation, of the chemistry between the two. And is it because their actual knowledge of sports? That's debatable. I mean, we don't really know how much they really knew about sports, but the personality really drove that show, and it did for almost 20 years. But then egos got in the way. Both guys kind of thought that they could do things their own way, and they split up, and Mad Dog, or as they call him in New York, Dog, went to Satellite Radio, who amazingly gave him any kind of money at all to do a show, $15 million. Oh, man. That's a big waste. Well, I'll get into that later. But they gave him $15 million to do his show by himself, do his own show for 5 hours. 2 to 7 o'clock Eastern time. So, yeah, 5 hours. And then run his own channel. So he gets an entire channel for himself. So he gets to decide who gets to be on the other parts of the day on his channel. Here's a guy, basically, who just kind of yells and screams all day and bashes the Yankees and the Mets in the process and talks about really weird things like tennis and old sports history, as if there is a reason to talk about old things that happened 45 years ago that don't have anything to do with today. It's weird. But that was his thing, you know. That was been his thing for years, and Russo kind of just went into this going, well, right, I can take on the world. And he was excited about it. He loved it. So then finally, after a few months on the air, he assembles these guys on the shows. And you know what? Some of these guys had pretty good shows. You know, Andy Gresh, I know him already from ESPN Radio, or he was on there as a sub-host. And he did the Patriots Radio, too, and he was on a bunch of other stuff. Big fat guy from Pittsburgh. He got a show right after Mad Dog's show. It was in the afternoon, late afternoon, evening for us here on the West Coast. It's basically a nighttime, primetime / late night show for the East Coast. It's actually a good show. I mean, I don't agree with a whole lot of what he says. I agree with like half of what he says, so it's give or take. But I think it's a good show. And then they had a couple of guys on. They call them the B Team before Dog. That's interesting. That was an interesting thing, show too. And some of the other shows I haven't really familiarized myself with. But I actually thought they were decent shows. I didn't think they were bad, you know. But the problem was, for whatever reason, the ratings were not very good on this channel. And there's a lot of reasons for it. Well, programming, promotion, and maybe they just weren't any household names. Maybe they weren't. Maybe a lot of these guys were not that effective. But I think the biggest thing is this. People who listen to sports radio want to just hear what they have to say about their local teams a lot of the time, and then on national outlets, it's just a matter of, you know, I want to get it on my radio. People don't go out of their way most of the time to listen to sports talk radio. Not always. I do, but I'm a different animal. Most guys just put on their local station and listen to what's out there. That's usually how it goes. And if they don't like it, well, there's another station usually down the dial. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you live in a market that has 3 stations for sports talk. But usually you go with the most reputable source. And I think a lot of what makes a sports station run is its reputation. The trust that you build between the listeners over the years with its reputation for producing good programming and getting people to chime in. And that's what's made some stations like 570 here in 570 in LA and 710 ESPN very successful. Well, it's an ESPN station. Well, ESPN's a big channel. I mean, I see it all the time on my TV. So this is a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big network. They've been on for almost a decade. I think I'll give these guys a shot. They know sports because it's ESPN, you know, sports. So that's a big time deal, and they're on all the time, and they broadcast some of the big teams, and they're going to have the Lakers next year. So that's what makes a sports station run. I mean, they carry the audio programs of some of these actual local teams' games, and that helps a lot. Do you really think WFAN would have succeeded the way it has if it didn't have broadcasting coverage of the Mets and let's see, they had the Giants. I mean, come on. I mean, that really helped anchor their station. Not to mention Don Imus, a well-known personality at WNBC over the years. He'd been on that station for a while, from its inception up to about... Okay, that's not quite true. Not the inception. The inception was on 1050. When they moved to 66 in 88, so then when they moved to 66 AM in 1988, and they disbanded WNBC, that's when Imus joined WFAN. So that wasn't quite accurate what I said earlier. Anyway, WFAN would have not been anywhere near where it was, I think, if it didn't carry any actual games. And they did, and they became a big success. The sports talk certainly was a big part of it. It was revolutionary at the time. And so it was one of the most well-known radio stations in this country. That is why WFAN gets the ratings it does. In a big way. And some of the programming certainly lends itself to that. Similarly, here on the West Coast, you have stations like KNBR, which has carried the Giants for many years, like decades. And with it comes this local, very, very, very high-spirited Bay Area sports talk, which is highly, highly parochial, but intentionally so that it really gets people in the mood to really be proud of their Bay Area and their Bay Area sports. Huge. So KNBR manages to be very well known. And then here in LA, we have KLAC. Well, they carried the Lakers. Or they used to. So they became a big sport. They have Jim Rome on. Jim Rome's a huge, huge personality on the West Coast in sports talk radio. This is how they get their stations. So when you talk about doing it all from scratch with no sports, no teams on at the same time, no games, how do you expect any kind of these channels to succeed? Apparently, Mad Dog thought he had all the answers. Well, he didn't. And last week, it all came to a head. And he launched a huge tirade against all of his staff members. Everybody! And this is just amazing. I would never have expected any sports talk host to launch a missive against his own staff on the air. And that's the most classless thing I could possibly think of in media. Not even Howard Stern would go launch attacks against his own staff on the air. First of all, he's more successful, or he had been. Secondly, he's just smart enough to know that you don't want to burn bridges, because down the road you may end up returning to them. So there you go. So he launches this big attack. Unfortunately, I'm at McDonald's eating my sandwich, listening to this. I record the thing, and then later that evening, I posted on the internet on this site, on the Dave in the City podcast site, and I just kind of link it to my friends over on this New York message board. TheMikeFrancesa.com is the board, and I had to just show people what it was all about, because most people, well, what do you know, they don't subscribe to satellite radio, and that brings up another point. You have to pay to listen to satellite radio. I do it because the options in my area were not really that great for music and so on. And I didn't subscribe it for the sports talk. I subscribed to it because of the music. I like the music without being commercial free. I like the coverage of Major League Baseball games on there. I thought that was great. So I was subscribing to this whether Mad Dog came on there or not. But I knew about the show, and I listened to the Mike and the Mad Dog show over the years. So hearing that this guy was going to have his own channel, I thought that was interesting to see. So I decided, all right, well, I'll give this thing a shot. I did. It was okay. It was good. It was nothing I took seriously. And so I just kind of popped it in and on every now and then. But it didn't stop me from listening to ESPN radio in the morning. And it didn't stop me from putting on music during the rest of the day. And that's the thing. I mean, apparently the people at Mad Dog Radio thought that they were going to make this huge station that everybody was going to listen to. But you cannot convince people to pay for radio that don't already have it just to listen to these guys. That's not how it works. And they don't have games. They don't have special games on. They don't have exclusives. They don't carry anybody's teams. So they have almost nothing to build on. Except the reputation of one guy who was on a New York station. Well, here's the problem. I mean, he may have been on Letterman a couple of times, but pretty much anybody that lives outside the tri-state area has no clue who this Mad Dog guy is. And if they listen to him, they're like, they hear, so you can't expect these guys to build an audience based on that. And the other guys are not big enough names to really get any pull. Even if they were, it's not enough. I mean, you have the Oprah channel and the Martha Stewart channel. Do I listen to any of those? No. So that's kind of the point. You build a sports station on trust, on reputation, and on its connection to its local community. Because even national networks like Fox Sports and ESPN and Sporting News Radio, they're all carried on little stations in other markets which happen to have a tie-in with the local community. That's how it works. It's a syndication. So getting it by itself isn't necessarily enough unless there's already some kind of a force behind it. And you have that force in these three big networks. ESPN, worldwide leader in sports. Fox Sports, well, they carry all the big sports, the NFL and the Major League Baseball. Fox Sports is huge. And the regional sports networks oftentimes are Fox Sports. Sporting News. Even Sporting News is pretty significant because people still read the Sporting News and they have their own website and they're subsidiaries of other, you know, journalism and so on. So there you go. That's how it works. That is how you get a sports station to work in most markets. So, predictably, the Mad Dog radio channel folded. Mad Dog launches this huge rant. I host it on my site. And then I link it to people over at themikefrancesa.com. On Saturday, Deadspin catches wind of this link to go along with the YouTube that was posted by Rollins College for Life. His name is Jared in real life, by the way. And he posted a YouTube, which was the second rant, which followed, I think, the day after. Both of our links are posted on Deadspin on Saturday morning. And suddenly the traffic to my site is just through the roof. Like, people are just coming in from everywhere to listen to these two links. And my site crashes because I maxed out the bandwidth. I got, like, 1,000,000% more hits than I ever had in the entire history of my site. It was awesome. But I was hoping that maybe some of that traffic would spill over to this actual podcast, which I do every day normally. Not lately, but normally because... And I do sports. And the thing is, because it maxed out, I had to upgrade my bandwidth, and I finally did. So I did upgrade the bandwidth. Now we're up and running. I have like 1,662 hits on that link. And that was a few hours ago. Let me check it now. Hits on the Mad Dog Russo rant that I posted here on this site on the Dave in the City Sports Talk podcast. That's unbelievable. Really is. But what I'm hoping now is that some people have spilled over and now we get and have gotten a chance to listen to me do this show with my friends Andrew Jacobson, Jacob Rosales, Tony Jimenez, Mark Perez, Arvin Derelag, and all these casts of and characters who contribute to our show to give us some of the most engaging sports talk available for free and commercial free too. So if you are listening to this for the first time and you were directed here from Deadspin, thank you, first of all, for joining. And we hope you stick on with us for a while. We hope you enjoy this show, and you know, we hope you like what we have to offer. I do apologize, as we've gone 40 minutes into the show and we haven't even talked about sports yet, but we're going to get into it now. So stay tuned. We'll be back and we'll talk right into the weekend that was sports. You're listening to Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio. We'll be back. This is Dave in the City.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give.
Welcome back in the city. I'm Dave Medina on Locks of the Week Radio. Hope that you are enjoying the show so far, although we are now breaking to the sporting program part of our program. Okay, so, Will, we have the following to tell you about. First of all, UFC 100. I am very, very impressed with its longevity so far. I remember when the UFC was introduced many years ago. I was still probably getting into high school. I may have not even been in high school yet. But it's come a long way. The 100 fights in, and now it's as big a success as you can think of in sports. It's a rising star, similar to NASCAR and other sports like soccer and things. I think it's great. I used to kind of think it was kind of dumb. I still do, because it's just kind of like people just going after each other without really much recourse. Not a lot of talent being exhibited in these things, but... But the thrill of the UFC is hard to beat right now. And it's real, too. That's something that the WWE cannot claim. So the UFC is pretty neat in that respect. And it's gaining a lot of traction. And I think UFC 100 really showed that this thing is here to stay. As if it wasn't already painfully obvious. But it's really huge among the young demographics. I think it's a cool story. And it's great to see that it's really become a big deal. So with the UFC 100, I talked to Jacob about this in the afternoon. He said it was very good, and they really wailed at each other. It was a good fight, a couple of good fights. And, you know, the only bad thing about UFC 100, apparently, was a little incident with one Brock Lesnar, where he was in a shine of bad sportsmanship. Now, here's the deal. The thing was, he just wailed at Frank Mir, really kicked his butt to retain the Ultimate Fighting Championship heavyweight division in UFC 100 on Saturday night. But then what happened afterwards was not so good. Now, according to Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, Lesnar ran around the octagon, flipping off the Mandalay Bay Event Center crowd with both middle fingers. And then, according to Wetzel, he shouted at Mir as the challenger sat on a stool trying to regain his equilibrium. And apparently, he was so incensed, he stood up and wanted to go after Lesnar again. How about that? Ugh. So that was one bad incident. But overall, the UFC had been a rousing success, and it really was commemorated quite nicely on Saturday night, but that was something else. Dan Wetzel goes on to talk about this. You can read about it in Yahoo Sports at sports.yahoo.com. He's got a good article about the lack of sportsmanship in UFC number 100. So, in the rest of sports, well, we had a couple of interesting things of note. How about the first no-hitter of the season, Jonathan Sanchez, of all people, the much maligned Jonathan Sanchez, the guy that everybody in the Giants organization and the fans wanted to trade. Everybody on that, and everybody who's been associated with the Giants, roots for them, any of those guys, were like, oh no, here comes Sanchez again. We're going to get our butts kicked tonight. Oh, here we go. Padres are going to kick our butt. So what happens? Friday night, he throws a no-hitter. And the only thing keeping him from a perfect game was a booted ball by Juan Uribe, which is, by the way, very tough to field. So, ruling it an error was fine, but it wasn't the easiest of plays anyway, so You can't give Uribe that much heat for it. What a story, though. This guy never even pitched a complete game in his career. Had to take a break off. He was exiled to the bullpen. And the only reason he even was pitching was because Randy Johnson was on the shelf. So he goes in and he shuts down the Padres big time. And gets the no-hitter. No-hitter for Jonathan Sanchez. Such a great story, but such irony. Such irony. All the Giant fans are like, oh, here we go. Just don't mess up, please. Just don't blow it. Reminds me a lot of like Brett Tomko. It's kind of like that. Now that he's completed this no-hitter in front of his dad, by the way, who was in attendance that night, he's getting a lot of press from the Giants fans and so on, talking about the first Giants no-hitter in well over 35 years. Can you believe that? Man, that's a long time between no-hitters. Now, some teams have never thrown a no-hitter. The Padres and Mets come to mind. And others have no-hitters happen almost all the time, like regularly. Like the Red Sox, you had, let's see, I think it was Clay Buchholz who did the no-hitter last season. And then Derek Lowe in 04, and it just goes on. So, when you talk about a team that's gone that long without a no-hitter, it's really a great story. And the Giants certainly deserve a lot of credit. And that really just shows you how good their pitching staff is. He is one of several. You've got Kane and Lincecum. And Barry Zito, who's actually not screwing up this year, so he's doing okay. It's a good pitching staff. This Giants team could really go places if they keep it together. Now, we saw that Kane was hit by a ball the other night. So that's kind of worrisome, but apparently the medical staff has said that he is going to be okay. It wasn't serious. Good news. Giants have potential. Now, the real question is this now going to screw up the Giants' plans to trade him? No, not at all. In fact, quite the opposite. It's going to make his trade value sky high. This would be the perfect time to trade Jonathan Sanchez. The perfect time. You know he's not going to pitch that well again the rest of the season. This is the best time possible to trade Jonathan Sanchez. They'll get a good deal back in return now because they'll look back at the highlight reel. Oh, wow, he pitched a no-hitter on Friday night. Wow. How about that? How about that? And this on a night that followed a night where Tim Lincecum had a chance for a no-hitter, which was foiled in the seventh inning. So back-to-back nights where both pitchers went into the seventh inning without giving up a hit. How bad is a Padres offense? That's a combined 14, 15, 16 innings without a hit out of 18 for the Padres. I mean, that's really, really bad. That is really bad. You have to be a bad team to be shut down that much. And that's the Padres for you. It truly is. So today, I suppose, is the beginning of a week where there's supposed to be this thing called the All-Star Game and the All-Star Festivities. Not to mention the All-Star Home Run Derby. And you know who's not going to watch that? It's going to be me. And you know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The powers that be in Major League Baseball held a vote for the last roster spot for the AL and the NL. I think this is a noble deal, and it's been done before. And it was great. It's a great shot of fan support. But where are these fans? You had some very qualified players for the National League. I won't speak to the American League. Brandon Inge, okay, whatever. But the National League, you had a bunch of qualified hitters on that ballot. You had Matt Kemp, a great five-tool player, great defender. I mean, you saw that catch on Friday night. Wow. I mean, that he just ran after the ball. 99% of Major League of outfielders would not have caught that ball, and he did it. Made it look easy. It was not. It was a great catch. And Willie Mays-esque, over-the-shoulder catch to end the game, save the game for the Dodgers at Miller Park. This guy gets snubbed. Pablo Sandoval, having a monster year in his first full year in the big leagues, really carrying the Giants to some of these wins. Got a big home run in that no-hitter game on Friday night. Having a great year, getting a great on-base percentage, great clutch hitting, great power. He got left out. And this goof and this dope Shane Victorino, who's not having nearly the same season, maybe as good of stolen bases, but he's not hitting nearly as well. He's not hitting, he doesn't have nearly as many home runs. He's got 6 home runs. Give me a break. This guy gets voted in. Yay! That was a joke. I mean, that alone was pretty bad. But then when they decided who to fill in for Carlos Beltran, they decided on Jason Worth. Jason Worth? And it says on the website, well, there's the guy who had the most votes of the guys who were not a starter on the team, whatever. Jason Worth? There has to be some kind of a quota on number of Phillies allowed to join the team. They already have Ryan Howard at first base, and out of some miracle, they decided to throw in Shane Victorino. And who knows who else is in there? I haven't even checked. They throw in Jason Worth. The stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm sick of it. So sick of this thing. Sick of the Phillies. Sick of their no pitching. Oh, we're going to get a lot of hits in the end of the game to win the game. I'm so sick of this team. Sick of it. And, you know, just and the manager of the NL team this year, of course, Charlie Manuel, because the Phillies went to the World Series. Benefit of the doubt, he picks one of his own. So angering me. And I'm done. I'm not going to watch the All-Star game this year. I'm sick of it. Not watching. Not going to watch the game. Not going to watch the All-Star Home Run Derby. No, I'm not watching any of it. No, I'm through. I'm not. Forget it. Forget the whole thing. I'm sick of this. This thing so I call shenanigans. I think it's a big joke that most of the Phillies have been involved. I mean, what's it going to be? The AL versus the Phillies? Give me a break. I mean, honestly. It's ridiculous how stupid this is. Getting most of the Phillies involved in the game. It's supposed to be the All-Star game, not the All-Phillies game. So I'm fed up with the whole thing. And that was the last straw, Jason Worth getting into Carlos Beltran. Jason Worth. He's not even an All-Star of his own team. Jeez. Oh, I'm so sick of it. So there will not be an All-Star game for me this year. I will not watch the All-Star game. I will not partake in the Home Run Derby. When I go home, I'm not even going to turn on the TV. Except at 8 o'clock to watch The Big Bang Theory. But outside of that, forget it. I'm not even touching it. I'm not seeing 1 second of that stupid All-Star game this year. Because I'm fed up with it. Fed up with the narcissism of this thing. It's in St. Louis, but who cares? It's the all-Philly show. I'm not going to watch that. I don't like the politics involved. I'm through. No way. I'm not going to watch it. You want to break down? Just listen to somebody else. I'm not going to break it down. Maybe I'll read about it and I'll tell you what happened. But I'm through. And for the first time in the history of my entire life watching baseball, I am rooting strongly for the American League to win. I'm an NL guy by heart. It's been the way I've grown up. But this year, I want the NL to get its butt kicked. I want them to get slaughtered. There's no way that this can go without check. Unchecked. I mean, just putting all the Phillies in the team. So stupid. I hope they get their butts kicked. I'm so sick of this. Sick of the whole thing. So, yeah, there will not be an All-Star game coverage this year in the city. I will not watch the game. I'm not going to see any minute of it. You know, that's it. You know, Seeley, if he had any balls at all, might have caught wind of this or put some stipulation to kind of even things out. I mean, he already has that rule. Everybody has to select a guy on the team. But apparently that doesn't extend to how many guys you can select late from the Phillies. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's one thing when the Yankees send like 3 or 4 guys to the team because of the fan voting or whatever. Those are good players. But Shane Victorino, Jason Worth, these guys have ballpark effect written all over them. These guys are very mediocre players, and they get the numbers that they even get, which aren't even that great, because of Citizens Bank Park. And that's it. And you want proof of that? Aaron Rowand. That's all I got to say. I'm just not putting up with it anymore. When people just started throwing players because they were on their own team. Oh, they're my players. I'm going to put them in. Put the best players on the field. Or put the players that fans think are the best players on the field. And I blame the fans completely for voting in Victorino. What the hell is that? Oh, Brantorino. Oh, you're going to vote guy for a catchphrase. The stupidest thing alive. Unbelievable. I just can't take it anymore. So that's it, you know? I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm not going to just complain about it here. I'm not going to watch. Not watching the game. I don't care if it's the greatest All-Star game ever played. I don't care if Barack Obama's throwing out the first pitch. I don't care if it's in beautiful new Busch Stadium. I don't care if it's the greatest fans in the world in St. Louis. And I don't care if Joe Buck's hosting it and Artie Lang's going to be doing color commentary. I don't care. I'm not watching this thing. So if you are watching it, I hope you have a good time. I hope that Albert Pujols hits like 50 home runs in the first round. I mean, you have fun. I'm watching it. I'm not touching that thing. Because I'm sick of it. Sick of these politics. All right. Thanks for listening in on the show. We hope you had a good time. We hope you have a great night. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll be back soon. If not, we'll see you in August. Good night, everybody. Well, good morning. And we'll see you next time.